I don't know about you, but I am really enjoying our series on the parables of the kingdom. Parables that Jesus told to illustrate the kingdom and to teach, I believe, ultimately about the church. And so this morning, we'll go on ahead looking at the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. So in where we read Matthew 13, beginning from verse 31, he says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. So these parables give us insight into the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, it talks about the church. And as I go through these parables, it gives me hope. Hope in the sense that the church, in my opinion, isn't an endangered species anywhere, even in the United Kingdom. There has been some statistics, some research, you know, saying things like in the next 50 years or at worst in the next 100 years, maybe there wouldn't be Christianity in the land. But I beg to differ, because Jesus talks about the church with a capital C, not just the local church, the church. I believe that as we're going to look at this parable this morning, that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades cannot withstand it. It didn't withstand it then, it will not in the 21st century and even going forward. So I believe that the kingdom of heaven, the church of Jesus Christ, has come to stay and nothing will root it out. And you know, some of these parables Jesus told illustrates some of the things that he said and the way the church should look, you know, as opposed to how we view the church. And so last time we talked about the other parable, and between that time that Jesus gave the parable, you remember the wheat and the wheat. And then in between the time that he gave the parable and the time he explained that to the disciples, he gave this parable. So in between the giving of the wheat and the weeds and the explanation of it, he gives these two parables. And these parables, as we're going to see now, talks about the growth and the expansion of the church. The growth and the expansion of the church of Christ. And so the one in Matthew and Luke, as Matthew and Luke captured it, the parable of the mustard seed is followed immediately by the parable of the yeast. And so they are a promise of the growth of the kingdom of God. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Can we read together, please? He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds and perch. Before I show you a picture of the little tiny mustard seed, I'd like you to look at this. As I was looking at this passage, some of the insights were coming out to me. He told them another parable. He always tells them parables. He has been telling them parables. The kingdom of heaven. And like I said last time, the kingdom of heaven is not a geographic, you know, location. It's a kingdom lifestyle. It's a sphere and a realm that you belong to. The kingdom of heaven. It's like a mustard seed. It's like the smallest seed, he says. It's like something that is sort of underrated. It's like something that at the beginning, it's just a tiny, tiny little thing that you could even overlook it. But when it is planted, it has no power on its own if you don't put it to use. It's like your spiritual gift. And this is what the revelation God gave me years ago. Every one of us here now, we've got spiritual gifts. But there are some that are not sure of which spiritual gift they've got, or talents, or skill, or anything that you can bring to the table. All right? But if you have discovered yours, if you don't use it, it will just remain dormant. It will not help the person by the side, and it wouldn't grow. So the Lord gave me a spiritual gift, and I began to develop and discover around the area of prophecy and healing. And the Lord told me it will not grow if you don't use it. And sometimes using your spiritual gifts could be a risk. All right? Like praying for someone who is sick or praying for something to happen. You are not sure if it's going to happen. All right, even if you don't pray, it will or will not. So why don't you pray? And it's not in your power to answer the prayer. So why don't you pray? You know, sometimes why we don't use our spiritual gift, it could be fear. You know, I'm afraid if nothing changes. Or it could be that I feel unworthy, that I am not able to. But he says, if this plant, the seed is planted, that's when the miracle happens. That's when the change comes. If you use your spiritual gift, it will grow to bless others. And which a man planted, though it is the smallest, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. The church of Jesus Christ will grow, and then birds of the earth will come and perch in its branches. And to me, my understanding is that the birds of the air are nations of the world. Nations are going to come to the church to receive life. And the church will be like a light to them and will give freedom to them, will give covering to them, and will cover them up. And so the mustard seed is that little thing in us. And when God plants it, it will grow. Look at the hand there. And it said that it is, I don't know if you've been to Israel, if anyone has been to Israel. You've been to Israel. All right. Did you manage to see that? Well, some people who have gone to Israel, I know someone who brought back a little tiny mustard seed. Very, very, very the tiniest of them all. But when it is planted, it becomes one of the tallest and biggest trees in the field. Like I said, Jesus was talking about the kingdom. And he was talking about the word of God. And the word of God will always grow. I'd like to draw attention before I go any further to Matthew 16. As you go further in that book. Do you remember when Jesus ask them, you know, after he's done miracles, and then he retired with his disciples in Matthew 16, and then he asked them, by the way, what do people think about me? What do they say about me? And, you know, they went up saying, well, I heard some people say you are the prophet. I heard some people say you are that. And they kept saying all those suggestions. And he said, all right. Now, what do you say about me? What do you think I am? Who do you think I am? You know, it's just like a leader receiving feedback, like leaders do from time to time, receiving honest feedback from maybe the church, the fellowship, or the cabinet, you know, the organization. And then he sat back waiting to hear from them. They were not saying what, you know, they knew about Jesus until Peter came forward and said, I'll read that in Matthew 16 from verse 17. Jesus replied, all right, this is after Peter has said that you are the Christ, right? And then he said, well, hang on a minute. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It is my Father in heaven that has revealed this to you. And Jesus said in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, the church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Just talking about agreement, not talking about binding and leasing. It's just talking, saying that if you agree to forgive someone, then heaven will forgive. If you agree to even refrain from forgiving as a church, heaven will also obey. That's what Jesus was saying. But go back, if you have your Bibles, go back to that verse 18. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Jesus was not talking about Peter now. Jesus was talking about the revelation of the Messiah. You know, I hear people say, yeah, the church was built on Peter because Peter is the rock. Well, I bring a different perspective to it now and challenge your thinking a little bit. Jesus was not talking about Peter now. Upon this rock, this revelation of my messiahship, upon this insight that you have received, this is where I will build my church. And he says, I, not you, Peter, not the rest of the apostles, but I am the one that will build my church because I will give the seed and it will grow. And he says in a future tense, I will build my church. So at that time, they were still like a mustard seed. And then he was talking into the future, speaking into the future. I will build whose church? My church. Not any person's church. I am the one that will do the building, and it is my church. It is my church. It is my church. And not any other person's church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Even though Jesus was talking about the Jews at that time, but he was also talking about the future tense. He was saying, this is the seed that I'm planting in you now, my disciples, and this seed is going to grow and become a tree. The Jews are going to do nothing about it. They will try, but they are not going to do anything about it. And also, in the future, that's why I said the church, I believe, can never be an endangered species. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades cannot withstand it. They didn't do, and they will never, and they will never forever. And I am the one that will build my church. Do you know why I believe that Jesus was not talking about Peter? Because a little down, when he was now telling them about the fact that he's going to suffer and he's going to die, Peter grabbed him and put him by the side. Do you remember? And rebuked him. What are you saying, Master? You're not going to die. What did he say? Get thee behind me. Is Peter Satan? Get thee behind me, Satan. For you don't care about spiritual things. You only care. He wasn't talking about Peter at that time. He was rebuking who was speaking at that time. Who was trying to suggest to him that he's going to not fulfill his purposes on earth. Get thee behind me, Satan, because the church is a mustard seed and is going to grow, it is going to expand, and the gates of hell will never do anything about it. Have you received Jesus in your life? It's just like a mustard seed. Whatever that the Lord has started to do in your life, I believe that no power can withstand it. Say amen to that. And if you read further in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, In Zechariah, I want you to look at that picture. Without reading what is written down, can you suggest who it is? Yeah, you've already read it. I'll come to the reason why I put this guy up here. But I am saying that the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I will build my church. And no person is going to stop my church. I will plant my word in you. And the word I will plant in you will grow like the mustard seed. They tried in the past. They are trying now. They will keep trying. But the gates of Hades can never withstand the church. In Zechariah 4 verse 10, he says, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The Lord starts a thing. It might be very small, but if the Lord's hands are on it, it will surely grow. The Church of Jesus Christ in South Coast, for example, wherever it is, nothing will be able to withstand. And that's what this guy did. Emperor Nero. That's him. That's the representation of him. And you remember the story, don't you? That he was actually said to be the cause of the great fire in Rome. But he decided to turn it on the early church. He is said to be the fifth emperor of Rome. And he is known for his cruelty. He was very notorious for his cruelty and debauchery. He ascended into power in the year AD 54 at the age of 16, just 16. Sadly died at the age of 30. So he ruled between 64 and 68. And while I was reading to prepare myself for this British citizenship thing, I found out he existed at the same time as Boudica. You remember the lady who was a warrior of the Icenic people? At that same time that Nero existed. And he allegedly killed his mom and his two wives. And he carried out all atrocities. But my point is, he was feeding the disciples, the Christians, to ferocious wolves. I don't know if you read about him. Because he accused them of what he said he was the reason behind the great fire of Rome. But because he wanted the church to die, he wanted everything to do away with the church, he fed them to the wolves, to the ferocious animals. And people were gathering around and rejoicing and laughing and all those things. But apart from all those things he did, the church never died. Praise the name of the Lord. The church never died because Jesus said, I will build my church. Say with me, I will build my church. Just to make sure you are still listening. I will build my church. And the church will continue to grow. Do you remember also, let me, you know, begin to draw to a close now. In Acts 12, you remember when the church was also under intense persecution and Peter was put in prison? I read verse 1 and 2, for you. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. About this time, it was the time that the church was growing. It was about the time that, you know, miracles were happening, multiplication, people were coming to Christ. But he felt like, you know, I need to stop this. I need to put an end to this. And he grabbed Peter and put him in prison. But the church prayed. The church was praying. They woke up to the fact that they needed to pray, and there was a difference. No matter what happens, then, now, forever, no power can stop the Church of Jesus Christ because it is the mustard seed that Jesus says a man planted in his field that no power can come against it. They also went on in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sent them, you know, two by two, and they went out to minister and to preach to people, they came back and gave a report, and Jesus replied in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said, when they said this, that they saw miracles happen, they saw everything, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, verse 18. Verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Praise God. All the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. But listen to verse 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. So miracles will happen, answers will happen or not happen. But the good thing is our names are written in heaven. And no power is going to withdraw the names. Nobody is going to do anything about it. Praise the name of the Lord. Dear children, he says he has given us the power to overcome the devil. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I have it here. He says, dear children, you are from God and I have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, have you heard a little story about the Chinese bamboo? I just want to, you know, put these things together to illustrate the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is the mustard seed. The church. And it will grow, it will keep growing, no matter what happens, even in the United Kingdom, the church will continue to grow. Someone told me a little story about this bamboo. And it said that bamboos take about 5 years to grow. In the first 4 years, it will seem like nothing is happening. When they plant it, the first year, zero. Second year, zero. Third year, fourth year, nothing. But in the fifth year, something happens. It takes 24 hours to grow all the growth it would have grown for the last 4 years. That's Chinese bamboo. And it grows to very, very about, I think, 80 meters. Some can grow to 80 meters height. And listen to this. World Book Encyclopedia records that one bamboo plant can grow 3 feet in a single 24-hour period after the whole 4 years, and nothing is happening. You know what? Sometimes when you pray, it seems nothing is happening. Don't give up. Something is happening behind the scenes. You know, sometimes when you look at yourself, I wish I could read the Bible and understand. I wish I could be spiritually high. I wish I could grow in the spirit. Don't worry. Something is happening behind the scenes. Just keep on being what you are. Feeding yourself with the word of God. Being part of the church. Being part of the prayer meeting and everything. If it seems nothing is happening, just don't worry. Something, I believe, is happening inwards. And very soon, and very soon, and very soon, you're going to see an outburst of something in you. And it happens or not happens, but rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you notice that in the parable, the two parables, Jesus talks about a man planting his field in the field, and then a woman preparing the yeast? What was his point? Anyway, the early hearers would understand that, well, it was the duty of men those days to be in the fields and the duty of women to be in the kitchen, maybe. At that time, but not anymore anyway. Not anymore. You know, I know some people here could even remember, maybe in this country even, there were some times that women were not allowed to do some certain things, right? Okay? Just like my mom, you know, she never went to school because who could send a girl to school? She never went to school, and that was why she didn't go to school. Anyway, but I read it differently. I read it to understand that in this kingdom, men and women are supposed to be at work together. And don't allow anybody to underrate you saying, you are from Africa, you're only from Africa, you're only a lady, you're only whatever. Because God can use any person in the church, in his kingdom. That's the way I read it, all right? I was just reading it and thinking, why did Jesus say that? Maybe that wasn't his point, but that's the way I understand it today. Men doing their work, duty, women doing theirs, young people doing theirs, and whoever we are, bringing our gifts together, no matter our race, our background, our social standing, you were created with the image of God. And that's why I like to close with those two verses, those two passages from Psalm 139, verse 14, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Psalm 139, verse 14. Oh, I don't have it there. But I read it for us. Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Say to yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Say it. I want you to believe that, all right? No matter what voices you hear, you know, telling you otherwise, voices externally, voices internally. You know, there are some times when you look yourself in the mirror, getting ready for church, some strange voice will be telling you, you are not worth it. You are worthless. No one cares about you. No one has rang you this week. You think they like you. Judy has not rang you. Henry has not rang you. You think they care about you. Sometimes there could be some of those voices coming. But no matter what voice I hear, I tell myself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am God's image. I am made in his likeness. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I am God's handiwork. I am created in Christ Jesus. He knows me by name. He knows what he's called me to do. I am going to grow. Whatever I am doing today, Jesus is going to multiply it. No matter what happens to me, that word of God in me, it will surely last forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I say praise God, you say hallelujah. Praise God. I will ask you to jump and dance like I did in Nigeria, but maybe I'll try it one day. I'll try it on you and those who are willing. But yeah, my point is the mustard seed is the church. The mustard seed is the word of God. God has planted it through Jesus Christ. And no matter what we go through, nothing is going to snuff us out of his care. And we are going to grow, and we will surely grow. Let's pray for ourselves and pray for the church of Jesus Christ. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gate of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. We used to sing this song years, years back. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gate of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gate of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, they are marching on. The gate of hell shall not prevail. Every temptation, every persecution, they go on around the world today. In Nigeria, in Afghanistan, in North Korea, in all several parts of the world, people are passing through persecution because of what they believe in. Because they are Christians,
No other thing they've committed than the fact they have received Jesus Christ. But Heavenly Father, we believe you. No matter how they try, the church will march on. The church of Jesus Christ will grow and grow. They tried in the past, like Nero tried. Herod tried in Acts 12. Even today, it is even very dangerous in some places to even proclaim your word. Even in the United Kingdom. I was listening to the news yesterday or the other day. Someone was singing outside their church and a policewoman arrested her just because she was singing. And someone was asking, all right, is it safer for me to shout Allah Akbar or to sing a Christian song? Anyway, no matter what they do, Lord, we believe your church will grow. Your church will march on. And we pray for those who are passing through persecution right now, either abroad or even home at home here. We pray, Lord, that you will give them boldness. Give us boldness also, Lord, when we are under attack, sometimes silently, sometimes even by what we go through, we are under attack for what we believe. Give us boldness, Lord, to stand on your word. Give us peace and presence of the Holy Spirit to stand on what we believe in. When our faith is shaken, Lord, when we are under trial, help us to stand and help us to grow. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick in their body. We pray for those who are going, having things going on in their minds. Some people are going through some mental health difficulties at this time. Heavenly Father, we pray that they will know your peace and they will know your love. Lord, we pray for our family members and our friends. Some of them are very far away from you. We pray that they will encounter you, Jesus Christ, through what we say to them or through what we do with them, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus will come to them. And like this mustard seed, we will plant it in their hearts and it will grow. We pray for the younger ones and we use these two here as a point of contact, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we know that we will come to that point that you will send to us young people and that we will all bring our gifts together and to serve you in this local church. Heavenly Father, we know your word is planted in Southcote and we know the foundation is rooted on you. We know that those who have gone before us, they toil day and night to see that the word of God stands in this place. We know it will never go out. It will never go dry. And so, Lord, we ask that you help us to grow as we do your work, as we put ourselves unto use unto you. Lord, we ask that you will use us to your glory. We pray for the week ahead of us, Lord. Wherever we will go, may doors open unto us. May opportunities come to us, Lord. Wherever we will go, every door we will knock upon, Lord, may they open up unto us. We pray, gracious Lord, for those who will travel, wherever they will go, we pray for safety at this time. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we ask, Lord, that you will be with all of us and that all the glory will continually be yours. We thank you, Father, and we bless your name forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.